Okay, we're going to have the honor and the privilege of reading Parshas Bahar B'Chukosai this coming Shabbos. And of course, the Parsha begins with the understanding, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe b'Har Sinai Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe in Har Sinai, right? And the question has to be asked. Rashi famously notes, why is the section of Shemitah next to Har Sinai? As Rashi famously states, Ma'inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. Why is the Shemitah Parsha, the one that comes specifically in regard to Mamad Har Sinai? And so Rashi explains, in the same way that the laws of Shemitah were given at Har Sinai, all of the Torah's laws, with all of their details, were also given at Har Sinai. And the question follows, why is Shemitah the vehicle to teach this lesson? What is it about Shemitah that makes this lesson the appropriate one to point out? So Rav Noach Weinberg, Zecha Tzadik Livracha, the famous Rosh Hashiva Veisha Torah, explains that Shemitah is one mitzvah that clearly cannot be made up by a group of people who are an agrarian society, and we're going to shut down the entire economy for a year in the anticipation of a three-part bracha in a sixth year. That's just like an impossible thing to sell to the nation and to the people who are supposed to keep this mitzvah. So there's only one author who can guarantee that if you follow this mitzvah, you'll be blessed. A true Hashem who gave this mitzvah and all of the others. And so therefore, says Rav Noach, if anything, the reason why there is a Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai is that it tends to prove that the Torah was given to Moshe, to Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai, and it was given by none other than the Almighty One HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechvodo Beatzmo. The Torah later, after identifying Shemitah and Yovel, the Torah then turns around and begins to tell us, V'chisimkru mimkar lamisecha kanomi ad amisecha, when you make a sale to your fellow Jew or make a purchase from the hand of your fellow Jew, al tonu ish esachiv, a person should not wrong one another. And that's where the idea of onah comes from. And the Gemara in Bava Metzia on Daf Samach Amud Aleph explains that this means that what is the interpretation of al tonu? It means that you shouldn't dress up an animal or dress up an eved to look different in, than he or she does in real life in order to encourage somebody to fall prey to a poor sale. And the source is our pasuk al tonu ish esachiv. So they say over in the name of Rabbi Baruch Ber Leibovitz that this idea goes ahead to include a shir as well. It seems that Rabbi Baruch Ber had been invited to give a tryout lecture in a particular yeshiva in Lithuania. And he delivered the shir, and then afterwards one of his close acquaintances asked him, why didn't you just reuse a shir that you had given a couple of weeks before, which was like a one-of-a-kind gem? Rabbi Baruch Ber was a one-of-a-kind, and to say that any of his shiurim were less than 100% is kind of an amazing idea. But still, every so often you give a shiur, you know, like, that's a razzle-dazzle humdinger of a shiur. And so this Talmud said to Rabbi Baruch Ber, I don't understand, that shiur, just give that one over. So Rabbi Baruch Ber answered, look, that shiur, yes, you're right, that was special. I had great siyata d'shmaya in the shiur. But it wasn't indicative of a standard shiur. And I'm being asked to deliver a shir every single day in the yeshiva, right? And so Rabbi Baruch Ber was worried lest the community assume that I was capable of delivering a shir like that regularly. That might be a violation of lo tonu. So therefore he chose to speak on a different topic, more within the area that he normally spoke, in the style that he normally spoke, and then to go on from there. Okay, so that's lo tonu. The Torah then gives us a bunch of instructions about how we should handle different issues in terms of sales and hekdeshos. And then one of the situations that come up, we are told about how we're supposed to deal with avadim. So the Torah first repeats that we should be very careful. Lo sir de lo beperech. You shouldn't go ahead and work him over. And you should be fearful of Hashem your God. Then afterwards, when the Torah goes back and Pasuk Mem Vav, Perikafei Pasuk Mem Vav, and talks about how you deal with an Eved Kenani, the Torah then repeats the summation of Achichem Bnei Yisrael, Ish B'Achiv, Lo Sir De Lo Beferech. So the question has to be asked, why are we repeating the same idea, Lo Sir De Lo Beferech? So the question has to be why. Rabbi Tzala Radinsky Shalita opines that after allowing one to work in Eved Kenayni, one might allow his power and permission to take him over. I'm allowed to do whatever I need to do. So the Torah reminds us, losir de lo beferech, not to allow actions that the Torah demands to change us into people living with extreme midos. In other words, sometimes we deal with issues of rachmanis. As an example, Rabbi Tzal Radinsky cites the example of the Ir HaNidachas, right? In the Ir HaNidachas, we're told, go ahead and destroy the city. And then the Torah tells us, "V'nasan alecha rachamim v'richamcha v'herbecha," that the Torah wants us to understand that our Kadosh Baruch Hu will show you rachmanis. Sometimes having too much rachmanis, misplaced rachmanis, can lead to destruction. Ayin shol hamelech. So therefore, what the Torah is trying to teach us over here is don't fall into that style. So that's some of the ideas that perhaps we can take just from a cursory glance at Parshas Bahar. Then the Torah begins Parshas Bechukosai, in Bechukosai Teilechu, and Rashi says, what's in Bechukosai Teilechu, that if you walk in my chukim, that means Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah. This is a message that we have to go ahead and toil in Torah thought. Now, why is this type of style called halicha or halacha or called walking? Why does the Torah not say im bechukosai tilmedu? Why that if you study my chukim? So Rav Olbe Zatzal suggested that when one studies Torah, the deeper he goes into it, the newer the old previously studied sections become, and that's why the Torah calls it walking. A person can constantly stride deeper and deeper into Torah and gain greater appreciation of its infinite wisdom. The fact of the matter is, the more we apply ourselves, the deeper we will continue into tapping into that resource, which is Torah knowledge. It's not just something that is a limud. Limud often has a finite role to it. Here, it's a halicha. You just keep walking. I know people who engage in walking in life, and you ask them, so where are you going? Can I give you a ride? Just yesterday, I stopped somebody on the street and asked him if I can give him a ride. He says, no, I left my car at home on purpose. I just wanted to walk. I said, well, where are you walking? He says, the point is to walk, not where. So that sometimes you have to understand, as far as the limud HaTorah is concerned, my goal is to keep toiling in Torah. Don't need to accomplish the sum total. That's one goal, but there's a second goal, just to be involved, to be involved in the halicha. Okay. The Torah adds in and says, "Vesalachti besochechem vayisi lachem leilokim vatem tiu li la'am." Right? I'll walk among you, and I'll be your God, and you will be my people. Now, why is it that the rewards in this section are always stated in the plural? Right? Menasati gishmechem beitam menasnar ziva visig lachem daish espatzia. Why is it that throughout, all the way up to and including, why is it total in plural? So the Abar Benel notes this and offers seven different possibilities as to why. And in the last of the seven, he suggests that the ideal world and the ideal reward in a world is a communal one. When you receive something as part of a bigger group, that's a big chiddush. So Rav Kook Zatzal added that this doesn't mean that one doesn't receive a personal reward. It's just that that's not the primary reward that one gets in life. Rav Yaakov Ariel Shalita, the famous Rav of Ramat Gan, he added that the ideal reward comes collectively, and that Eretz Yisrael is the grand uniter of reward, combining the individual needs into a communal idea above the total sum of the parts. And that's what he said. That's an ideal. To get to that status means that the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving us as a group an opportunity to go ahead and be exclusive with him. On the other side, if we don't listen, there is a terrible toichacha. And so one of the rules that gets discussed in the toichacha is the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, the pasuk says, V'shlachti b'chem eschayas ha-sadeh, right? I'm going to send the animals within, and then the pasuk goes on and explains that I'm going to go ahead and send you a cherev, no chemis necambris, right? You're going to go ahead and you're going to experience the cherev, and it's going to v'shilachti b'chemis a cherev, besa dever, V'nasati eschem bi'aroi veichem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, the fact of the matter is, I'm going to send you the sword, and the sword is going to go ahead and go through you. And then what's going to happen, you're going to experience a dever, you're going to experience a pestilence, and then thereafter, what's going to happen is I'm going to also put you in the hands of your enemies. Now, if one is already dead, how are you handed over into the hands of your enemy? So Rashi explains that this can only happen when people die and then decide to bury their dead outside of Yerushalayim, since it's forbidden to leave a mace in Yerushalayim overnight. So in the Shemin HaTov, Rabbi Bernard Weinberger Shlita notes that this is an incredible idea. We're talking about a time of Tochacha, wherein the people are being punished due to their inability to listen to the word of Hashem. And still the people are going to wind up remaining committed to the strong minhag about leaving a mace in Yerushalayim overnight. What a strange idea, what a strange concept. But Rabbi Weinberger explains and adds that in his mind, this is a reality and it's something not to make fun of. We shouldn't be so cavalier about these minhagim, because he's seen the strong adherence to them bring people back to Yiddishkeit. Sometimes we find that death tends to bring people back a lot closer and bring life back into otherwise spiritually dead people during the period of time that they are keeping Avelus. The minhagim and the nihugim of Avelus bring people close. What an incredible thought as to why we shouldn't be so cavalier. After the Tochacha, the Torah finishes off the book of Vayikra, and in the context of finishing off the book of Vayikra, the Torah identifies some of the different issues of Arachin. And here the Torah says, "Im lo yigal asasade b'machar asasade lishacher lo yigal od." The Torah tells us that if a person is given the opportunity to redeem a field, and if instead the field gets sold to somebody else, it doesn't get redeemed anymore. The Gemara in Chagiga tells the story of Elisha ben Avuya of Acher, and there in the Gemara tells a story about how they heard a basko, Shuvu banim shoivavim chutz me Acher, that everyone should return except for Acher, that Shuvu wouldn't help him. So Moran, Rav Shechter Sholita, used to quote from Rav Soloveitchik, who would say that Elisha ben Avuya wasn't able to do Shuva. That's a myth. The truth is, he made a mistake. He could not have been unable to do tshuva. And one of the proofs that Rav Soloveitchik brought suggests Rav Shechter was from Stei Achuza, where the ownership will not be limited to Yovel. The other Gemara teaches us that a son can take over. But if the son chooses not to be Goyal, and the field is sold le'ish acher, to a different person, that's where the acher was, then the field can't be redeemed. Elisha ben Avuya made a psak for himself that he wasn't a son. We're all called banim lamakom. He decided he was an acher. So Rav Shechter suggested this is why we don't make drushas on our own. No matter how far away a person thinks he or she is, the more a person thinks that he or she is acher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers us banim lamakom and considers us able to do teshuva. What a valuable lesson. Wow. And while we're on that subject of tshuva in the Haftarah also, Yirmiyahu HaNavi declares, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, that the mikvah Bam Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this led Rabbi Akiva to famously declare, Ashreichem Yisrael, see how praiseworthy you are, Am Yisrael, that the Jewish nation gets praised because HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies them, and they are purified before him. So in the same way that a mikvah purifies man, we are purified by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so suggests the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Pehei Amud Beis. Now normally, when we think of the word kivui, it refers to some degree of hope and a sense of waiting and investing in a tomorrow. How does Rabbi Akiva come up with that drasha to internalize the idea of mikveh Yisrael Hashem, that it refers to a mikvah for tevila, something to do right now? So Rabbi Neben Sal Shalita, the author, the famous Rav of the old city of Yerushalayim, he explains that this is simply proven from the pasuk's context. O si azvu makar mayim chayim es Hashem. They left me as a makar mayim chayim, because a person needs to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of live flowing water, and by stopping the flow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes mikveh Yisrael. We have an opportunity to go ahead and jump in order for us to continue to make a Torah, Torah's Chaim. And Kadosh Baruch Hu give us the wisdom to learn Torah's Yerushalayim from Gedolei Gaonei Olam, as we continue to strive, V'sechazena Einenu B'shuv Chalitzion Barach Amim, as we await the great Shabbos, we wish all a Shabbat Shalom to all.